When did you first realize that you had the ability to influence men using your looks?
Oh gosh, very young, very young. Like, with guys my age, it was so easy to just like flirt with them and get what I wanted, and like, it most of the time wasn't intentional. I thought they were just my friends, and then I was like, wait, they like me.
Indeed, and this is exactly how it goes for men and women of the same age. So when men and women go to school together, for example, you know, as boys and girls, because of how women develop, they develop quicker than men. And women are naturally inclined towards being socially more capable. And so, of course, it's not even surprising that women should be able to manipulate using their looks the young men. They run circles around them. And in fact, it kind of never changes until like the age of 25 or more. But even then, usually 25-year-old women are much more socially skilled than men, unless the men happen to have lots of practice for whatever reason. So that just reflects the developmental difference between men and women. Hello and welcome to the Helios blog. My name is Helios, here for another reaction video. Remember, please, to like, comment and subscribe, hitting all for notifications. If you'd like me to comment on a video or compilation, please send the link to theheliosblog@gmail.com. On we go.
Do you think that persistence pays off, or does it become annoying?
For me, it becomes annoying. Yeah.
That's absolutely true. Man, persistence does not work. If you approach a woman and she's not interested in you from the outset, if she's not showing you exactly the sort of attention that you want, which is hell yes, if she's not showing you that, you should move on to the next girl. She's just looking for your free attention. And attention-seeking women, or what's it called? Women that are time wasters are not to be trifled with. It's you're better off being alone, basically. Okay, let's move on.
Honestly, like when I was younger, I didn't have a lot of self-confidence, so I could just go for whoever liked me. So that was just like not good, because I found myself with a lot of not the best men.
This is exactly how every girl's story basically works. And it's really funny. Okay, let's do the analysis, okay? I mean, obviously, this is a certain type of awards show, so, I mean, you know what kind of crowd you're getting here. But it's cool to have the sort of things that we tell you be confirmed here. So, I don't see any tattoos, but lots of piercings, the colored hair, the, you know, attention-seeking clothing, and she even has money, like, in her outfit. Like, it's very obvious what kind of girl she is. She's a lady of the night, right? But it's funny that basically all women that are not wise, right? Or, you know, not all of them, but many of them, they end up having a similar story, right? They say, oh, I didn't make the best choices. I chose terrible men, you know, like I made so many mistakes, but it's okay. I know myself now. I've done my healing and I'm ready to settle down. But really, that's not the truth. Really, these women had access to all manner of men, and they actively selected the ones that were not that were bad, quote unquote, as they say. And so, because of this, these women end up destroyed in the future. But it's actually due to their own decisions, because women are the selectors for relationships, right? So if this girl wanted a relationship, she could have had one. But of course, having chosen the path that she chose, being a lady of the night, she's not going to have those outcomes, right?
So now I definitely have more higher standards. Like, the person has to be like passionate, driven about something, take care of themselves, and...
It's hilarious when you hear these girls say this stuff, right? Because, again, this is kind of how women work, right? As they go up in age and down in value, as women go up in age and down in value, the standards actually increase. You'd expect them to decrease, but no. What happens is this thing called the amalgam, and I've already explained it. So the amalgam is, as a woman Oh, she does have tattoos. There you go. As she sleeps with more and more men, what ends up happening is, rather than her standards going down and her realizing that her value is going down with the more men she sleeps with, no. What happens is, because of hypergamy, the woman takes the absolute best traits of each of these men, fuses them together, and expects the next man to be even better than all of the best aspects of every previous partner. And so as the girl gets more and more and more partners, the new man has to reach ever higher standards. And this is why women tend to end up as cat ladies over time. It's because their own nature makes it impossible eventually for them to be able to be happy with anyone.
Overall, have other goals in life than just landing me in bed, you know?
Well, of course. I mean, that's kind of how it goes, right? When women are young in their 20s, all they're interested in is the bedroom fun. But later on, you know, when they've had their fun and they're ready to settle down, then they want a guy who's quote-unquote driven. But that's not actually what they want. They want a guy with money to take care of them and to support their bad decisions, right? And often women will have a child in tow at this point. So it's literally just AFBB. It's early on in their life, they're getting the alpha seed. And then later on, as they get older, then they need a beta for their needs, right?
And then what about a woman? Like, what do you find most attractive about a woman?
I would say the same qualities.
It would be the same thing?
Yeah.
Because I'm curious, like, if a woman's bisexual, does she have the same standards or expectations for her girlfriend that she would have for a guy?
Right.
Or should she?
Yeah, I believe she should, for sure. I've definitely recently, like, dated some girls where I just kind of wanted to be with a girl, and I kind of...
I can actually explain why this happens as well. So remember what I said about the amalgam, where no man is ever good enough eventually? Well, some women believe that as a result, because no man is good enough, that they can go to women and they'll get what they're seeking in women. But that's actually not what happens. Because when you have two women, what actually ends up happening is, because they're both emotional by nature, the relationship ends up extremely unstable. And often lasts for very little time. Also, statistically, these relationships tend to have more negative things happen. Look it up.
I quickly realized that whether it's a guy or a girl, if they're not taking care of themselves and they don't have goals in life, it's kind of the same situation where you feel like a parent more than a partner.
All right.
Interesting. Actually, she made a very good point. Women don't want to be your mom. And if she feels as though she's your mom, the implication is that she feels that she's superior to you. If she feels as though she's superior to you, it means that the relationship is inherently unstable. And it's kind of funny that she would talk about her relationship with another girl as having to be a parent. That's actually very common for men to feel in relationships with women. They feel as though they're the parent of the girl. And they have to, you know, make all the decisions and take care of her and provide for her, and as you would with a child. And I made this point in one of my books. The point is that it's almost like parasitism, right? So the woman takes resources from you and then uses those resources to have a parasite of a parasite, effectively, in a child. It's interesting how things work like that.
Which of the following do you think is worse? A guy who can't get it up, or a guy who finishes too quick?
What are these questions? Okay, let me see what I think my prediction is going to be. A guy who can't get it up or who finishes too quickly. I think she's going to say get it up. And the reason is because women want to feel desired. They want to feel like they're valuable to men. They want to feel the man is giving them attention and validation. So a man who's not able to get it up is implying that he doesn't find her attractive. And as a result of that, I think that she would like that less. That would be my guess. Let's see what she says.
I would say a guy who finishes too quick.
Really?
Why? Because a guy can, like, take a pill and, like, you know, and get it up, right? Or a guy can desensitize.
I mean, at least you tried.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. What's the worst pickup line you've ever been given?
I didn't understand, okay.
I don't really get pickup lines.
Really?
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're all pretty bad, but I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, I believe you dropped something. You dropped your standards. Nice to meet you.
there's one about DMs where they'll send like a ball emoji and be like, oh, my bad, my ball rolled into your DMs, but since I'm here, then I'll just talk to you. I think that's really cheesy.
Are you a parking ticket? Because you got fine written all over you.
Oh, my God. Oh, actually, this is something very interesting to note, okay? I think, actually, the girl who's being interviewed, I think she likes the interview. I think the interview is attractive. Anyway, let me make mention of something. And it's actually a true fact. So it's very cool that it's being shown here on camera. If you're attractive, it doesn't really matter what you say. And that's it's kind of an interesting thing, right? Like the old school pickup artists, right? What they said is that game trumps everything. But that's actually not true. What actually trumps everything is value. So if you're a man who's highly physically attractive, obviously showing signs of money, you have some situational power, etc., women are going to be attracted to that. And you can say basically anything, right? So, for example, let's say Brad Pitt walks into this event, right? And he started speaking to the girls here. He wouldn't have to say anything, really. It doesn't matter what lines he uses. It doesn't matter what he says, right? All that matters is that he is showing that he's interested in the girl. And the girl's hypergamy will kick in, see that the man is superior to her, and wants to be with him. That's how female nature is, right? So it's very interesting, right, that you're being shown this live. The interviewer is clearly attractive to the girl being interviewed. And so, as a result of this, it doesn't matter what he says. He can say the cheesiest pickup lines. It's irrelevant. The girl is laughing, having a good time. Obviously, you know, is still interested. Because it's really not so much about what you say, but the person that you are underneath what you say. And not only this, they say confidence is key, right? But what is confidence derived from for men? Confidence is derived from having success in many different things, right? So you have earned your power, you have earned your superiority, and so you're confident, and women are attracted to that. That's what's demonstrated here. Okay.
Terrible. Okay. What's the best compliment you've ever received?
Best compliment? Probably on my nose, because I really don't like my nose that much, but someone said it was really cute.
I love your little Dorito nose. I'd bite it.
Dorito, you know? Nose?
Again, I'm pretty sure that the girl is I'm pretty sure she likes the interviewer. That's the impression I'm getting here. Also, that's called a neg, by the way. What the interviewer did there. If you guys are trying to learn seduction, neg is when you say something in like negative, right? But the point is to lower the girl's impression of herself so that you can demonstrate that you're superior, right? It's kind of like you're treating the girl like your little sister, right? You're demonstrating higher value by saying a statement like that. Okay, does that make sense? Let's move on.
You know, if I go to like a strip club or something, right? Mm-hmm. Those girls aren't flirting with me; they're teasing me because they don't plan on going home or dating me necessarily. You know, it's just it's a game; it's role playing. It's fantasy. Does that
I
make
see
sense?
That. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, but the thing is that it's very hard to distinguish the difference. It's almost impossible. That's why people get led on, right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't know. So how would somebody know if somebody's flirting with you or teasing you?
I think that if they have, if they mention like, you know, hanging out in the future, then I would say flirting.
Okay, so here's the implication. If the girl is leading you on, she's never going to want to make plans with you. She's never going to want to see you in the future. She's just going to want the free attention and then walk away. And so many guys get sucked into this trap of thinking that the girl's into them. But whenever they try to make plans, she deflects, right? So that's your sign. If a girl is not giving you the opportunity to seduce her in person, she's not interested in you. She's just interested in the validation. Okay. So actually, that's very good. That's very good advice.
Who do you think tends to regulate the sex in the relationship, the man or the woman?
I think the woman.
Well, you know what I ask them? I say, what's the longest a man's ever made you wait for sex?
I made them wait.
Right. So, yeah. if a woman typically makes a man wait, and a man doesn't typically make a woman wait, then she's the one who regulates the sex in the relationship.
Yeah.
Right. So let me ask you this. If you when you first meet a guy, how do you decide if he's going to be a friend or more than a friend? And more importantly, when do you decide? Because it's often said a woman will know right away.
I often know right away.
I mean, she's not lying. So here's the thing. For men, it's very important. Bedroom fun is extremely important, right? So if your girl ever makes any attempt to lower the amount of bedroom fun that you're having, or uses bedroom fun as leverage against you to get you to do certain behaviors, it means she sees you as a beta male. It means she sees you as weak, or she sees you as a man that she can manipulate, who's wrapped around her finger. And if the woman sees you that way, it means the relationship should not continue. It means that there is no relationship, effectively. And this is another thing. And this is why I say to strike while the iron is hot, and also to shoot your shot. The reason I say it is because, basically, since women know right away, there's no point in wasting your time, right? So this is why I text only for logistics, for example. So I get a girl's phone number and I'll ask her to meet up right away, basically within like 3 messages. If she doesn't want to meet up within those 3 messages, it shows that she's not actually interested in me. And because she's not interested, I don't continue from that point, because she clearly sees me as a beta in her eyes. And since she sees me as a beta, there's no point in continuing. Women know right away what category they want to put you in. If you're not in the hell yes category, you need to leave, because you'll just be taken for a ride. You'll just be used.
It's just about chemistry. It's all about chemistry. Yeah.
Indeed.
How do you define, like, can you define chemistry, romantic chemistry? Or?
I think it's pheromones or something like that. There's something.
She's talking about physical attractiveness, of course. And I mean, it shouldn't be surprising to you that's the case, right? Women say that looks don't matter, but that's not true at all. If you don't meet a certain standard of appearance, you're not going to have success with women. And sadly, many men know this. If you don't meet a certain height requirement, even, especially on online dating, women are not going to find you attractive. And this is why, if you're actually interested in becoming a top man, a highly attractive man, you need to work out regularly. You need to, have a decent diet. You need to be earning a certain amount of money, etc. The point is, you need to be a superior man so that many women choose you, because again, women are the selectors. And once many women are choosing you, then you can put your vetting into place and see if the girl is worthy of a relationship or just a friend with benefits.
Going on with your bodies, and you just know that, like, you guys would move well, and like, if you were to be intimate, it would be smooth transitions and everything would be, you know.
Why do you think there's a growing market for sex bots?
It's easier than forming like a meaningful relationship and connection with somebody. And also, like, a lot of men idealize like the perfect body, and a lot of, like, women come in all shapes and sizes, like,
so here's the thing. The reason why bedroom fun bots are a thing, or, you know, will be a thing in the future, the reason why is because many women in the modern world are a headache, and men don't want to deal with them, but men need bedroom fun. And so because men need bedroom fun, they're going to get it from an easier source, right? It's not about the meaningful connection. Women care about the meaningful connection. For men, it's largely about the bedroom fun. And so if men don't have bedroom fun, there is no relationship. Whereas for women, if there's no meaningful connection, there's no relationship, right? So it's funny that she's talking from her perspective, right? But she's actually wrong about what men want in this particular instance.
I know here most people are fit and curvy, but in reality, most women like aren't like that. A sex bot is just
because it's so noisy.
Yeah, right. A sex bot is just like an easy thing to do if you can afford it.
Do you think sex, the rise of sex bots, the evolution of it, would affect dating?
I think so. Yeah, I've seen some documentaries about guys in Japan just like dating AI, never leaving their house. So yeah, definitely, I think it will affect it.
Okay, so here is what will actually happen. This is my prediction with bedroom fun bots. So, when they become ubiquitous, because they will, it's inevitable, because it actually fills an important niche, an important need. What will happen is that men will actually gain a little bit more power than they have in the current marketplace, because beta males, men that aren't competitive with women, who would normally give women attention for free in an attempt to get laid, they'll stop doing it, or at least it will be markedly reduced. And because it's markedly reduced, what will happen is that men that are actually interested in women will go down. So the demand will be the same, but the supply of men will be lower. And so women will have to compete more for men than they had to in the past. And so women are going to, by the process of natural selection, they're going to have to modify some of their behaviors away from this entitlement. I mean, one can dream anyway, but maybe more likely is one generation of women just gets literally pushed to the side, and the next generation of women sees how the previous generation was miserable and they modify their behavior. That might be more likely than old dogs learning new tricks, as it were.
For a lot of women who just kind of, there are some women who complain that like all guys seem to care about is sex. Why don't you think those women choose to date asexual men?
I think, well, asexuals, I haven't met a lot, so they're not the majority of the population. And again, it all depends on personality. I think that's the big part. And it depends on what level of maturity and like mental growth you're at. So if you're at one stage, you're going to attract that kind of man unless you're working on yourself.
What? This is like a politician answer, but it's not correct, right? It's not about emotions or a level of emotional maturity or anything like that. The reason... okay, here is the interviewer's implication, right? The reason why he asked that question. It's because women control men through their bedroom fund drive, right? So if a woman were to date a man that doesn't want to have bedroom fun, a large part of her power is gone. And so many women don't do it, right? It's kind of like men gain power in order to attain bedroom fun. Women use bedroom fun in order to gain power, right? It's kind of like that. All right, moving on.
Why do you think there's like virtually no sex bots? Like, why there are virtually no male sex bots?
Because I feel like it's honestly easier for women to have sex because men are striving to have sex more than women are. Most women I know, they can kind of like go without, but a lot of men I know just want to like land a woman in bed.
That's absolutely true. And it's not only the men that she's talking to, it's all men, like, you know, the vast majority, like 99%, are trying to get laid. That's biologically driven. It's not something we can control. Basically, all men are bedroom fun addicts. And that's by biological design. It's to reproduce the species, right? And it's man's drive to sow his wild oats, as it were. And she's absolutely right. It's much easier for women to have bedroom fun than for men. Actually, for women, all they need to do is go out and wash their hair, and they'll be able to get bedroom fun. And that is not the case for men. A man needs to be superior in order to easily, or, you know, more easily get bedroom fun. But even the absolute apex men have to work to gain bedroom fun, whereas women don't really have to. They just need to put themselves in a position where they could, and they can, with 99% to 100% certainty.
Well, okay, put it this way. Do you think there's a difference between the dating advice that men get versus the dating advice that women get?
Yes.
What is that difference? I think you just kind of touched upon it.
What's that?
I think you just kind of touched upon it, right?
Yeah.
Basically, most of the dating advice that guys get is how to attract a woman and get her into bed, right?
Yes.
Versus exactly. A lot of the dating advice that women get is how to get him to respect you, treat you right, how to commit to you, form a relationship. So,
Okay, so anyway, here we're touching upon the two fundamental differences, right? The fundamental differences between men and women. So the idea is women gatekeep bedroom fun and men gatekeep relationships, right? So it's up to the woman to determine what behaviors are the ones that actually get laid. And it's really funny because you see all these TikToks, all these compilations, all these things where women say they want certain things, but their actions and, you know, the complaint videos they make about men implies that they're looking for actually other behaviors or other things. Basically, women are looking for winners. That's the moral of the story. So it doesn't really matter what negative behaviors a man has as long as he's a winner and meets her hypergamous filter. Whereas men determine what gains a relationship. And this is the reason why marriages in like 2022 are like 7% in men aged 30 and up. You know, in the new generation, of course, not in the boomer generation, but a generation lower. It's simply because women are not giving men what they want. And so because they're not giving men what they want, men are not committing to marriage. Also, many women on TikTok or other online platforms, what they're doing is they're just telling on themselves. They're talking about how they're sleeping around. They're talking about how they're wasting their youth. They're talking about how they don't want to get married. And so men are just catching on and they're learning. And as a result, they don't want to get married. So there you go. I think we're going to end the episode there. Anyway, if you agree or disagree with the comments that I've said, please leave a comment in the comment section. Thank you so much for watching. Again, please remember to hit subscribe and all for notifications on your way out. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for watching my channel. Please remember to do all of the following. Like the video for the algorithm. Comment on the video. I respond to all comments and I'll give you a heart. Subscribe and hit the bell so you can see my content on your feed. Check out all of my content on other platforms. It spreads the reach of the channel. YouTube, bit.ly/HeliosYouTube. Rumble, bit.ly/HeliosRumble. My blog is realheliosblog.com. My podcast, bit.ly/HeliosPodcast. My Patreon, patreon.com/TheHeliosBlog. You can also support the show at bit.ly/HeliosDonations. And buy my books at bit.ly/HeliosBooks. Thank you so much for all of your support.